Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Can we read the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Our second reading, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9 to 10. Isaiah 28, verse 9 to 10. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Last reading, Acts chapter 15, verse 35, where the team came from. Can we read together? Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. It pleases the Lord that we still continue in the matter of other anointed, and we are on our third sub-series, right? Or fourth. This is our third sub-series. We are the fourth one. Or the third sub-series. Okay. And on the fourth message of our third sub-series, is that not it today? And today's message is titled, Preaching and Teaching the Word of the Lord. Amen. Building upon last week's message, I would like us to look at some key pickups last week's message gave us, some nuggets of last week's message. Now, one of the key things, or one of the nuggets of last week's message, is that a proof of believing in Christ is the outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit as rivers of living water. And that was centered on the scripture, John chapter 7, verse 38. They that believe in me, out of their hearts shall flow rivers of living water. And last week's message, one of the key things that we established or we saw was that a proof of we believing in Jesus is in the outflow or the overflowing. So how does this relate to the anointing? So we know that by definition, the anointing is the tangible manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit and His power. Hence, if the proof of being a believer of Christ has to do with an outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then the concept of anointing is best fit in the statement that Jesus made. Do you agree with me? If the definition of anointing is the manifestation of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said that the proof of we being believers is that there's an outward what? Manifestation, an overflow in a form of what? A river. Then anointing and this very statement that Jesus made fit perfectly in each other. And that is the first nugget that we took from last week's message. Number two, we also find out that for the possibility of an outflow or overflow of the living water, which is the Holy Spirit, in the heart of a man, that man must be a watered garden, as presented in the book of Isaiah chapter 58 verse 11. We found out that when we become a watered garden, the spring of waters or the rivers that flow out of us will never fail. That means it will never hot dry. So Isaiah 58 verse 11, the Lord would guide you continually and satisfy you and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of what? Water. Whose waters? That word waters there is what? Rivers. Do not what? Fail or do not what? Dry. So for you to, I said that Jesus implicated everybody who claim he believes in him by saying that out of us shall flow rivers of what? Living water. So for us to vindicate ourselves by this implication, we must become a what? A watered what? Garden. A watered what? Garden. Therefore, living the life of the anointed, which is the overflow or the overflowing life of the presence and power of God, requires a continuous nourishment from the vine. John chapter 15 verse 4 to 5. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. My Father pruned the vine. That is, I'm paraphrasing, but let's read what Jesus himself said. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, very frank statement. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That is out, overflow, the outflow. You get it? Fruit. That is why, you remember last week I said that the rivers also stand for what? Fruitfulness, outward manifestation of fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. So living the life of the anointed, a life of the anointed life, which is the manifestations of the presence and the power of God, is a life of what? A watered garden. That is the continuous nourishment from the Holy Spirit. Because the idea is not to be filled. As I said last week, if the all to Christianity is all we think that we are to be filled, then we are missing it. In John chapter 7 verse 37 said that he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. Then verse 30 said, out of their belly shall flow that very water they drank. So the idea of Christianity is that you will be filled first, then that which has filled you, there will be a continuous what? Filling or a continuous watering till you become a watered garden. Now the definition of a watered garden is that there is what? Overflow. That is the life of the anointed. So the life of the anointed, as I said last week, is also the life of what? Fruitfulness. You cannot lie about your fruitfulness. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 20, very, very frank statement over there. Let's read. Therefore, by their fruit. Help me, church, together. Therefore, by their fruit. And what did Jesus say? They that believe in me, out of what? Their hearts shall flow streams of what? Living what? Water. So, rivers of living water. So, we will know you by what is coming out of you. So, if you are here, you claim that you are a believer. You believe in Jesus Christ. We've heard you. But we are looking for the proof. Because it is their fruit that will know you. So, what is coming out of you? Because when you see, if you have ever lived a life in a village, you know that it is very difficult to differentiate between a tangerine and an orange. Have you been there? It's very difficult to even differentiate between a plantain and a banana. Especially the Greek version of the banana. They are all short because the local one is very tall. That means the stem. But the Greek one, very short. So we can plant both plantain and banana there. And it will be the fruit. So as it's here right now, yes, Jesus said, as God said to the servants, leave both of them to grow. And when the time comes for us to what? Harvest. We will separate the wheat from what? So as we sit here, we are all together. We don't know who is a wheat or who is a tare. So Jesus said that to differentiate between those who are the wheat and those who are the wheat and those who are the tares, out of the heart will flow. And remember that I introduced this message last week by explaining the principle of how God sees things. That the heart is what defiles us, and there's no difference between. Remember what I said, that if the Christianity is a matter of the heart, then what comes of the heart should justify what is what in the heart. That's what Jesus said. If you listen to last week's message, you follow. I don't want to drag us back there. So all the point I'm trying to make is that the life of the anointed, living an anointed life, is a life of fruitfulness, and that is born out of what? A watered garden, a garden that is continuously receiving. Non-stop, and it doesn't dry. And if you claim so, this scripture will get you by their fruit. So now we begin to see your fruit. If you are watered or not, you will know. You yourself, you know. I'm not among you. Sometimes, pastors, we are careful. The third thing upon which today's message will be built upon was also to identify how these rivers express themselves when they come out of us. So, as I said last week, by the teachings of our Father and the Lord, Apostle Joseph Minter, we find out that there are seven streams, major streams, or seven rivers, which manifest as the living water out of the believer. I gave you the seven, as one being what? The preaching, teaching, healing, deliverance, creating of an atmosphere, and then prosperity, if you remember. And we are going to look at all of them. Today, we want to look at what? Preaching and teaching as an expression of the anointing. Amen. So, follow me. So, now, today's message What I want you to keep your eye on whilst we are talking about the rivers of the anointing, listen to me very well. The most important thing about anything I'm going to say concerning all these major seven rivers, listen to me very well, is this thing. Is to help you to identify and justify whether or not our lives reflect the life of the anointed. You see, there's a difference between someone who's anointed and gifted. I'm going to prove it to you. You see, an anointed life is a life-giving life. As I said last week. Because it is the living water that is coming out of you. And when it comes, it expresses as an anointing. But gifts don't give life. So I can stand here with gifts, minister to you, and you'll be very entertained, but you go home, your life. There are many gifted people in the church. There are many things that are done in the church with gifts. It's not wrong. But when anointing does not fall on that gift, it just ends up just entertaining and amusing you. So somebody can sing so well, gifted voice, and can even make you weep. Like you can lie flat. You will see things. You enter realms. But when you get up from that place, your life remains the same. Do you know what? It is not life. It's not producing life. An anointed life produces life. Because it's the living water that is coming out. Are you following me? So what I want you to know today is to please stop this whole thing about being gifted. But concentrate on whether or not you are a life giver. Because the role of the anointing is to give life. It is coming from the living water. A life-giving river. When it is flowing, it's a life-giving river. So it doesn't matter whatever is happening. It must give what? Life. So concentrate on what I'm going to say. It's very important to be very dear to me. So that you know that when people claim that they're anointed, you know, you yourself, you can, you see, so that nobody marks you with the wrong answers. There are many people's lives that have been set, let me put it this way. There are many people who think that they are not anointed because there are certain ways which they mark the anointed. If you sit here, you may think that I'm not anointed. I believe you people, you know I'm anointed. I know. We thank God for the life of Daddy Joe and where God has taken him to. You will sit down and think that, but let me tell you, if there's somebody who has contributed so much to the body of Christ in Ghana here, in terms of investing and raising giants, Daddy Joe is one of them. But you will not hear him much. Because we think that the anointing is a manifestation of giftings. Gift responds to the anointing, as I said in the introductory message of these streams of the anointing. The gift must be influenced by the anointing, because the anointing is what is coming from within, the presence activated by the power, and the end result is that it's a living water that is manifesting as a river. So at the end of the day, how did you affect the life? Jesus said, for these words I speak to you. He was preaching to the woman. Okay, I'll get there. But let me say it. He was preaching to the woman and he said that this preaching that I'm preaching to you, the words that are coming out, it is first spirit. And it is what? Life. So don't be here. If by the grace of God, God has used you to give life to somebody, you are anointed. That's an expression of anointing. So seek to give life. Hallelujah. So that is the key thing I want you to what? Take with me. Now, let's go into certain definition and context of the concept preaching and teaching so that I can let you know how it expresses itself as what? The anointing. Hallelujah. Now, the word preaching literally means to announce or to proclaim. To announce or to proclaim something is an act of what? Preaching. Whereas teaching is to instruct and to cause understanding. This is very important for our discourse, and it's going to help us to understand what we are doing today. So when you say you are preaching or you are teaching, this is the definition. When you announce or you proclaim something, or you seek to instruct or cause understanding about a subject matter, you are doing what? You are preaching and you are what? The other one is what? Teaching. Hence, at any time you announce or proclaim something, we can call that act preaching. And with teaching, anytime you instruct people or you seek to establish understanding about a subject matter to people, that act is called teaching. Therefore, preaching and teaching is not an exclusive Christian practice. Hence, teachers and preachers are not only associated to church only. Follow me very well. When you hear, oh, somebody's preaching, somebody's teaching. No, most of the times, the word preaching, we are more, it brings us to church things. Do you understand? But the concept teaching or preaching, let me start with the preaching, is not only exclusive to us. The moment somebody's announcing. So you see that when there's a political rally and somebody stands there to announce and speak about the political party, that person is preaching. If somebody goes to the market to introduce a commodity on a TV station to run an advert, talking, Momento, and those of you who have the opportunity to be with my Kumasianos, you understand this subject of preaching. They can be able to preach you under the anointing that if you don't take care, you even sell yourself to buy what they offer you. That anointing upon the people of Kumasi, I always crave it. There is nothing they cannot sell. Kumasi, if you come to Accra, yes, circle, there is nothing that cannot be sold in circle. That is preaching. They are able to proclaim and announce. And when they preach to you and then you want to seek understanding, oh, they are good at that. They will teach you. Are you following me? So preaching and teaching is not exclusive to what? Christianity, what? Only. It is done almost everywhere. So when we say we are preaching, we must look at what exactly is the context of what preaching. Do you get it? With our context. Are we there? Okay. So now let's move on. Therefore, let's look at the context of Paul and Barnabas preaching in a particular town called Antioch. The Bible said they were preaching, and others also were also what? Preaching and what? And teaching. So what is the context of this? In the context of Christian practice, a preaching or a teaching is centered on the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. The moment you begin to proclaim, announce the word of the Lord, you are now doing preaching and teaching in the context of what? Christian what? Practice. So you can take the microphone as I stand here. I'll come there. Acts chapter 15, verse 35. Let's read. Paul and Barnabas also remain in Antioch doing what? Teaching and preaching what? The word of what? The Lord. With many others also. So what we are talking about today is announcing and causing to understand the word of the Lord. That is the preaching and teaching, the context I'm talking from. So preaching is not talking fast and shouting and screaming, just as many of you think. So you see a pastor or a man of God with a microphone and he's sweating and shouting and screaming. That is charismatic nature of the person. The charisma, the nature, the temperament of the person is influencing what he's doing. So his temperament is, God always use our temperament and our nature in expressing his what? His work. That is not what? Preaching. In the Christian context. Are we there? Now let's continue. Therefore, any act of proclamation or announcement which is centered on the word of the Lord, or any act of instructing or causing understanding about the word of the Lord, is fit to be called preaching and teaching, respectively, in the faith perspective. Hallelujah. I'm still laying foundation. We're going down. Now, this Christian practice is what falls within the outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit as an expression of what? The anointing. When you begin to proclaim the word of God and to cause to understanding of the word of God, the moment you are doing that, it is an act of what? Outward manifestation of the living water in you, which is what? The anointing. In other words, you cannot preach or teach the word of the Lord unless his spirit lives in you. If there is no living water in a person, that person cannot take it from me. It doesn't matter how educated a scholar the person will be in the word of God, in the Bible. Like I can't use the word of God, the Bible. It doesn't matter all the concordance and history facts the person will gather about the Bible scriptures, that person can never preach or teach the word of God unless the Spirit of God is living in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, verse 11 to 14. Let's read it. There's nobody who can preach or teach the word of God unless the Spirit of God lives in you. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of what? So you cannot know the word of God without the spirit. Now let's continue. Now, we have received not the spirit of what? The world. But the spirit who is from what? God. That we what? Check together that what? This is the point. Underline it. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now verse 13. These things we also speak. So the things of God must first of all be revealed by the Spirit. Then you can be able to what? Speak. So he comes to quench your thirst as the living water. Then by that, he comes out of you as what? Rivers of what? The living water. So nobody, irrespective of the academic capacity they have about the scriptures, without the Holy Spirit in them, can teach or preach the word of God. So when people say that we can preach, the first test is, are they born again? Is the Spirit of God in them? Now, I know this thing is very strong because if you go to our universities, there are lecturers and other people who claim that because they have been educated in school and they have gone to school, they do qualify to teach or speak about the things of God. Even Daddy Joe made this statement once upon a time, that the fact that you even attended a Bible school does not qualify you to be what? A minister of the word of God. Many of us have been receiving from places that we have not been able to verify whether or not what they are doing or whatever they are preaching or teaching is the word of God. The foundation to preach and teach the word of God as an expression of the anointing is that the Spirit is first of all in you, revealing that to you, then you can be able to what? To speak. So you have no right to stand anywhere to preach or teach if it is not the Spirit speaking through you. That is not God's word. It is never coming from God. It is not from the living water. That is a dead river. Are you on the same page? Not in words which man's wisdom teaches. So you see it? But which the Holy Spirit what? Teaches. Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Verse 14. Let me wrap it up at verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of what? The Spirit of God. It is no man. See, when we say a natural man, simply put, somebody who's not born again. When you are born again, you are no more a natural person. The Spirit of God sits in you. The natural man does not. So it is a lie from the pit of hell that anybody who's not born again claims that he's speaking the mind of God, irrespective of wherever the person is. I've heard people like Avram Moshe, what is the name? Sorry for the pronunciation. I don't know how to pronounce their names well. And other funny people who stand and claim that they have read the Bible, they have made inquiries into the Bible, and that they can speak the mind of God. The Bible said the natural man, if the Spirit of God is not in you, you cannot. Because the things of God is foolishness to the natural man. Now, let me continue to establish this. You see, in the teachings of Jude, when Jude wanted to establish this reality, Jude said, the people who are divisive or who divide the church or who cause division in the church, people who are false teachers, one of the things is that what they do is not from the Spirit of God. Jude chapter 9, Jude verse 19. They call them false teachers. Anybody who attempts to teach the word of God without the Spirit is a false teacher. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having what? Oh, I like reading with you, so let's read together. These are what? Sensual persons who causes divisions, not having what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are still looking at preaching and what? Teaching. Are we all following now? Okay, so now let's move. So now, what is the word of the Lord? Because the Bible said they were preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. So this preaching and teaching as an expression of the anointing being the word of the Lord, what is it? The word of the Lord is all about the Lord and his kingdom. Therefore, any preaching or teaching in the context of Christianity must speak about the Lord and his kingdom. And for that matter, even Jesus, who is the pace setter of this ministry, did so. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23. Let's look at what Jesus was doing as a context of preaching and teaching. Let's look at it. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the earth. Preaching the gospel of the earth, kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So what was he preaching? Was it the teachings of the Pharisees? Was it the Talmud? Because Jesus came to meet the Talmud. It was alive. Was it the Torah? Jesus came, and the Bible said he was preaching about the kingdom. So when we said the word of God, we are talking about the king and his what? Dominion. The kingdom. So the preaching and teaching in the context of Christian practice must be about the Lord and his kingdom. In Acts chapter 28 verse 31, a definition of Paul's ministry summarized in Acts chapter 28 verse 31. Let's see what he said. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord what? Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding what? Him. Give me the verse 30 so that somebody will understand what they are saying here. Let's go to verse 30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came out to him. What was Paul doing? Preaching the kingdom of what? I want you to know the emphasis very well. And doing what? Teaching the things concerning who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So if you say you are preaching or teaching, it's not about you. The reason I'm emphasizing on this is because many people are sitting in church and people are telling them to leave. Stories, philosophies, psychology, unrelated things in the name of teaching and preaching God's word. Let's be realistic. Or you think I don't have knowledge in my field of study, I can come and teach you? We are not saying that those things are wrong. Okay? But let's know what preaching is as a result of the anointing. Are you following me? Let's know what teaching is as a result of the anointing. Let's be very defined in the things that relate to what we have been instructed to do. Why is this so serious that we have to look at this? Because, see, the word of God is very precious. With that, God exalts his word above all things. Psalm 138 verse 2. Whenever we say that we are preaching, the reason why out the streams of the anointing, one of it, or them say the rivers of the anointing, as I said, the channels of our spirit, one is all the utterance, right? Prophetic utterance, speaking, the word of God. It's very, very key, very important, because the word of God is above all things. Psalm 138 verse 2. I worship towards your holy temple and praise your heart, your name, for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. You have. So when we say we are preaching the word, we must be careful, because this thing we are talking about is even above God's name. It's even above God's name. So you cannot come and stand somewhere and you claim that there's an outward flow of the living water in you, and what you are talking about is philosophy and some funny, funny ideas. Recently, my brother shared
the cinnamon issue. And it's okay. It is for us. How should I tell them? I should tell them. People are hearing things. So my pastor is the living word. Yeah, people are hearing things. How can you say that a man of God is preaching the word of God to you and he tells you that when you smoke cinnamon, your eyes will be open and you can prophesy? And people believe this, that this is exalted above God. His word, this is God's word. Smoke cinnamon. What was the recent one? See, sometimes that's why we don't use the pulpit for such things. Let me move on. But I just want to give you one example. All kinds of funny things. You see, do you know why I'm saying this? Because the devil has found a way to infiltrate the church in the name of preaching and teaching the word of God, speaking all kinds of rubbish. Let's know what the word of God is. You see, the word of God is so precious that he has even exalted it above himself. And that is the most thing we have to press for. Let me show you something. You know that God put so much premium on the word. Let me tell you something. That those who labor in the word, God has charged the church that those people deserve double honor. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Maybe you don't know. Let me help you. It doesn't matter what you do in the church. If you want double honor, you must labor in the word. Don't let anybody deceive you. Everything has honor. You know, as our father taught us last week message, things we do as that qualifies as ministry, the reward is what? Honor, not what? Fee. So we don't charge. The moment you charge, is no more ministry. But it's what? Honor. So everything we do in the church, you'll be honored. Are you with me? You'll be rewarded. You'll be honored. The reward is in honor. But if you want double honor, that work must be connected to this. Let the elders who rule be counted out worthy of what? Double honor. Especially those who labor in the word. So preference and priority is given to people who labor. Do you know why Peter said that it was not good? Because God's ultimate push, God's ultimate need, or what he sees us doing that is ultimate to him first, is his word going out. And the reason why God puts this kind of ultimate premium on his word is because it is by it that humanity can know him and rule the earth, which is the extension of his kingdom according to his will. Now, let me help you with this. I'm still talking about the preaching. But I'm looking at the context of the word of God. Then let me start to link it to the preaching, you understand it. When you manufacture something, okay, that the person knows no knowledge about it, and you want to give it to the person to take care and work with it, what is the first thing that you do? I don't know. What is the first thing that you do? Yes, anybody help me? You see, I was asking this morning how to record with what? An iPhone. Are you with me? Voice recorder. And I was asking. The reason why the word of God it attracts double honor is because it is through it that humanity will know him and will also be able to govern the earth he has trusted in their hands, which is the extension of God's kingdom. The Bible said the earth is of the Lord. Please have it in the back of your mind that the earth does not belong to any man. The earth is of what? And the Lord. And everything thereof. It is he who have the full manual as to how to what? Manifest and live and govern it. So how does he communicate? How do we get it? It is through his word. So in the book of Genesis chapter 18 verse 19, listen to what God said about Abraham. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they will keep their heart, the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and what? justice. What is the throne? What is the pillars of God's throne? Righteousness and what? Justice. You can never rule as God intend you to rule when you have no understanding. And how would Abraham pass this? He would teach that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to what? To him. So anyone who can out exalt righteousness and promote justice, such a person will do it out of the word of God. This is why the greatest assignment of God is connected to this model of what? Preaching and teaching. What is the Great Commission? In Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. The greatest assignment God gave us has to do with the expressions of the word of God. Which is what? Preaching and what? And teaching. Matthew chapter 20 verse 28 verse 20. What did it? Let's go to verse 19. For go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the what? Holy Spirit. Now verse 20, what did he say? Teaching them to observe all things. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Preach. So, you see, God put so much premium on his word because that is where righteousness and justice can be exalted. That is God's what? Throne. That is where God's throne what is. It's on what? Righteousness and what? Justice. That means that God is still ruling through what? Man on this earth. And the medium which this can be delivered is through what? Preaching and teaching. That is why it's a stream of the anointing. It is therefore important to note that your Christian growth should be focused on giving yourself to the ministry of the word, either through preaching or teaching. See, when Jesus said that those who believe in me, out of their hearts shall flow rivers of living waters. And one of the rivers has to do, or one of the rivers has to do with preaching, another has to do with teaching. I want to let you know that it is expected of all of us that we should avail ourselves that God can pass his word through us, either by what? Teaching or what? Preaching. So Peter said we will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer and what? To the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, the character of the word. Now, I'm talking about anointing, the express manifestation of God's what? Presence and power. Now, the character of the word reveals the express manifestation of the Spirit. That's why the word and the Spirit, they move together. Are you with me? In a book of, I think, is it 2 Timothy? It said there are three things that bear witness in heaven, and there are three things that bear witness on the earth. On the earth, with the earth said the Spirit, the word, and the what? And the blood. So if we are talking about the manifestation of the Spirit, okay, there is a way that the character of the word, okay, the word of God reveals the manifestations of the Spirit. In other words, if you are ministering or if you are flowing in the anointing, you are living an anointed life, when the word of God is coming out of you through teaching or preaching, you will see it through the character of the word. Are you following me? Do you really get what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about the streams of the anointing concerning preaching and what? And teaching. So it's 1 John, right? So it's 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. For there are three things that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and what? The Holy Spirit. And these three are what? One. Go on. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. The Spirit, the water, and what? And the blood. And these three agree as one. So you see, in heaven, the Word and the what? You can't separate them. So when we talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, there is the character of the word. So when we are preaching and we are teaching, as when we want to know that this preaching and teaching is a flow of the anointing, which is a river, the character of the word will expose you. Now follow me. What is the character of the word? It's in the book we read, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The character of God's word, what is called the word of God, the character of the word of God is this. That first, it is active and quick. Quick or active, which means that it is living. Another character is that it is powerful, full of energy. and sharper than two-edged sword. Ability to penetrate. What an edged sword does is able to what? Penetrate. And can be able to go what? Deep. Now let me continue. I'm going to explain them. Number two. You will find out that it pierces and divide asunder, number one, the soul, the spirit, the joint, and what? And marrow. I'm going to explain them. It's the character of the word of God. Finally, it discerns the thought and the intents of the heart. These are three characters of the word of God. Now, if indeed you are preaching and you are teaching the word of God, when it is an act of the anointing, what you are saying is the word of God. These three characters will expose you. Now, let's look at them. Number one, living and active. The word of God is not dead. It's not a dead doctrine. That's why your Bible has never been revised. Have you ever seen a revised edition of your Bible? Have you ever seen the revised edition of your Bible? Somebody made a comment last time that he just received a notification that you update the Bible. Say, Adam eats a different apple again. when he says you update his Bible, say, why has Adam eaten another apple again? The word of God that has been spoken ages is alive and active. And it has the dynamics of, and what it means is that whenever you preach the word of God, it is always in season. It makes sense to every generation. It makes sense to every situation. It makes sense. It is responsive to every generation. So there is no way. See, when you hear people trying to say that the word of Bible no cry is a cake, have you heard some people saying that? It is a way to introduce the doctrine of the devil. So if anybody claims that he's preaching and teaching the word of God, that person must first of all prove that what he's saying is relevant in the generation he's speaking to. Relevant in the condition of the people. Relevant. Alive. It's not obsolete. Now, it seems that the preachings and the teaching we do, they are so obsolete and abstract, they cannot be relatable. So, a man of God can claim that Jesus can heal, but it's so obsolete in the life of the people. And they begin to question, is this true? You see, the moment people begin to raise a concern about a preaching or a teaching, whether it is true or not, the validation of that word of God, it is a proof that this is an art of a gift, not anointing. Because by the time the man of God will finish telling that Jesus can heal, you yourself, you know. Because it's alive, it's active and quick. Are you following me? And that is the act of the anointing. So if anybody claims that the word of God or the word of the Lord is obsolete, is irrelevant in our generation. So when they tell you that the Bible said, so, wait there, how many of you have been there? Oh, wait, they say it's for our fathers and mothers. Whatever the Bible said in 1970, in 1620, he meant it today. If he said that do not fornicate, he means it. It's still alive. There is no caveat. It's not like the constitution that will be subjected to review. And there is no personal interpretation of the word. The interpretation of the word is the same. It's the same spirit that brings interpretation. So don't say that, okay, no, I'm fast sleep over and count. That's right. Don't come and tell me that when Paul was talking about sexual immorality, the things he listed, there was no sleep over there. There was no cuddling. He didn't add kisses. He didn't talk about smooching. Did he mention it? So, Pastor, as long as it is not there, we are in a generation where we think that there are aspects of the Bible that are obsolete. But the character of the word of God, it is active. It is quick. It is living. So when anybody is teaching you, says that he's teaching the word, he's preaching the word of God, one of the character revealing that this is an act of anointing, not a gift, is that it is quick. It is quick. It is alive. Any teaching that presents the things of God to you obsolete, it's not from God. It's not from the living water. That's why the living water will prove to you. People are thirsty for the truth. I pray that God will bring the truth out of you to them. Number two. The second character of this word that reveals. See, I said the word is carried through two streams or two rivers of the anointing. Number one, the preaching, and the teaching. I'll come to them. Number two, penetrative and descending. One character of the word of God that it is potent to penetrate. And descending. What it means that it is able to cut to the deepest part of who we are. You see, the word of God is more effective in reaching the whole part of a person than any psychological or philosophical tool. Let me show you something. When you receive the word of God, either through preaching or teaching, one of the things you will notice is that every part of your body is reached. The Bible says it's able to cut asunder the soul and the spirit, the marrow and the bone. Now, the soul and the spirit stands for the innermost part. Spiritually, your innermost part that cannot be reached by any philosophical or psychological tool. The word of God can reach there. That is why it is only the word of God that can catch somebody who is a grounded or rented armed robber who has practiced over years, somebody whose spirit is overly corrupted, and that word will cut asunder into that person, and instantly that person will change. No psychology can do that. Show me where psychology or philosophy has been able to convert a criminal syndicates and turn them into a new leaf, that their current life, because you know what, the word of God comes to exchange, it doesn't change. There's a difference between change and exchange. That's why the act of repentance is not change, it's an exchange. The character of the word, that's why when we preach the word and it gets to people, because it is come from the living water, what you know is that that word has the potency of exchange. Because the word is spirit and it's a person. So it takes away that corruptness in you and it gives you his life. We can lay hands on drug addicts and pray for them. The following time, they will not smoke again. It will take you 5 years to be able to get them to be sober. You don't know. The word of God can come so strong to a person. How many of you have been following Alpha Hour? Listen to the testimonies. Are you with me? I want to show you the potency of what? The word of God. And indeed, when you are preaching it, it means that when it is an act of anointing, the reality, you hear the testimony, you know that this is indeed the potency of the word. We make it look like the word of God can reach everywhere. And when it comes to your physical, you see, he said the bone and marrow. Do you know that the marrow and the bone is the farthest place? When something pierces through you and pierces through your bone and reaches your marrow, it means that it has completed, it has reached. Mamines, when something pierces through your bone and it reaches your marrow, is that not the complete reach? Oh, help me, I want you to know. That is how powerful the word of God is. That even the strongest bone, which one is the strongest bone? The thigh bone. Which one is the strongest? Yes, why is... McCarthy and the team. Which one is the strongest one? This is not Sofo Bliss and then of Amisandre's area. McCarthy and let's test them. See, we can't put our life at risk. So we call them. Your thigh bone. The word of God can be able to pierce through it and reach your marrow in the thigh bone. Complete reach. The depth it can reach. So when we say that we see physically, the word of God can work on you. So indeed, if you are preaching the word of God, or you are teaching the word of God, this is the extent to which, this is the character of it. Finally, the word of God, as he said, the intent aspect is revelatory. Let me show you what it does. It exposes the true intentions, which leads to repentance, transformation, and spiritual clarity. Have you ever been to church and a pastor was preaching and it seems as if the things you have already planned to do, he was there in your mind? The word of God can expose your thoughts that you'll be there and say, hey, This one, it was between me and myself. How did you know? But that is the word of God. And when that exposure hits you, it brings transformation. It brings repentance. This is the character of the word of God. Therefore, if it is being preached, what happens? That's where I did. Number one. If it is being preached, which is an expression of the anointing. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to what? To preach. To what? Preach. So what we say, we have preached the word of God as an expression of the anointing. An overflow. What happens? Number one. It flows, it comes like a heavy downpour of a rain. When you preach the word of God, when it is coming, it comes like a heavy downpour of a rain. Hey, have you seen a heavy downpour of a rain? It sweeps everything on its way. That is why when we go for crusade and we preach the gospel, it sweeps everything. It sweeps everything. Heavy downpour of a rain. That is how you compare it to it. It comes in that massive, it announces, because it's an announcement. We are proclaiming. So when we go out, do you remember the woman at the well of the Samaritan? When she began to preach. Now let's give an example in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 5. Let's look at what the Bible said when Philip went to Samaria to preach. What the Bible says. Then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria. And did what? Preach Christ to them. Continue. Let's see what happened. He preached what? Christ. Then what happens? You see the heavy downpour. When there's a heavy downpour, it's always an issue of what? Multitude. With one accord, heeded to the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing. How can he hear miracles? I thought that we see miracles. But this is when I read the scripture, I found out that people can hear miracles. That is the word of God. Sometimes when the word of God comes to you, you know this one is a miracle. Because how did that, this one, no. See, miracles are things that blows the mind of people. Not all miracles are seen. Some miracles can be heard. As Philip was speaking, they heard miracles. So if indeed you are preaching the word of God, he said, I have preached the word of God. When that heavy rainfall comes, oh, Jesus, time is fast spent. Number two, it brings conviction that leads to total surrender to Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. Listen to me. Whenever we preach the word of God as an act of the anointing, if indeed it is the word of God we preached, which is a flow of the anointing, conviction is inevitable. Now, when we talk of conviction, I don't say change of mind, though. When a person is convicted, the outcome is an exchange of life. We have changed people's mind with our philosophical, should I use the word, addictions and words. So they came to the church with a change of mind, but not an exchange of life. Because when the word of God is preached, the first point it reaches is the heart, not the mind. The first victim of the word of God is the heart. When it's preached. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Today I'm exposing you. So you see, when you are able to speak gospel, that is why you see people like Billy Graham, the late. You listen to their message. How many of you have noticed that Bishop Black has preached the same scripture? Lazarus and the rich man. For the past 10 years at every crusade. Bishop Dag. He has preached that Lazarus and the rich man message with all kinds of drama and everything. That if you sit there and say this one is not anointed. But the moment he called for souls, it's not in the way, so it is the life that is coming from that place. And the person or the context of what is being projected. As long as it is the word of the Lord projected and it is out of life. Now, when they heard this, what they hear, the preaching of Peter, they were cut to the heart. What is the function of the word of God? Able to pierce through. They were what? Cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is not a change of mind. This is an exchange of life. When somebody comes to you that, because of what you said, what must I do? means that that person is ready to let go of everything. See, there's a statement that one of my big brother always make, Elder Martin. He said, what is the use of the mind if it cannot change? Means that at every given time, somebody can change his mind today that you come to he's a Christian. Yes. See, when you reach the mind of people, but when you read the heart, that is why it is very difficult to win somebody who's in love out of where they are. Pastor, let me preach the word of God. I'm going somewhere else. Let me preach that. Because when the heart, you see, the heart is the place where the issues of life, as I said last time. So when the heart is raised, it's cut. When a surgery is conducted on the heart, that's what the Bible said, I will give them a heart of flesh. Take away that stony heart. When the heart is raised, that is where conviction. So I said, if indeed you preach the word, conviction is what? Inevitable. The Bible says we should preach the word in season and out of season. People say they are preaching. See, we are doing many things in the name of the word of God. And because we think people stand on the pulpit and say anything and mention Jesus' name, it is Jesus' word. The question is, what has been the effect on the people who heard it? The outcome is more important. It's not what you said. That's why people may not preach these deep revelations some people are preaching. But at the end of the day, you see life. Look at our fathers who had little knowledge in the word. There was no technology like they have at our time, like their time. Researching and gathering materials to teach deep things about the word of God was difficult. But look at the outcome of their lives. You see real manifestation of God's power. You see people who were not struggling to live a holy life, a life of righteousness. Why? Because the whole thing that came to them was the word of God, not somebody's philosophy. Today on the pulpit, men of God, we are interested in talking about ourselves, our experiences, our encounters, our whatever thing, rather than talk about the Lord and his kingdom. So the heart of people are not reached. Their mind has been the point of target. We come to that place. But the word of God must first of all reach the heart, then work to the mind. Because transformation is the thing from the heart to the mind. The mind is a victim of what is in the heart. I said the heart. I've already talked about what the heart is in the book, in the message I titled The Tested Heart. So I will not want you. So total conviction. So if somebody is not born again, and the person is truly becoming of a Christian, or the person is born again, that is through what? The gospel. That is through the word of God that is given to the person. And that is an act of what? Preaching. If indeed he was preached to, what is going to happen is that their heart will be cut. And they will surrender. So anybody who comes to church and finds it difficult to give them their heart. That's why we continue to preach and teach in the church. Preaching is majorly for the unbelievers, but in the church we still, let me go to that part. That part we call it exhortation. Exhortation is an expression of what? Preaching. And the job of exhortation is to motivate, charge, and fire the believer to live up to godly actions. Godly actions. If there is an example of a minister of God in Ghana here that I can talk about that he is operating in this anointing, is Prophet Nana Sakodi. He will fire you up for godly actions. If you want to be fired about anything in life, go and look for that man's message. Is it marriage? Prosperity? Prayer? Holy living? When you are done listening to him, nobody will tell you to take an act. See, when somebody preach to the church, the next thing you see is an action. People act. So if indeed you have preached to people and they don't act, they don't take a godly action towards it, that preaching is an expression of scales. It's not anointing. And that's one thing I've said to God, that I will never waste. See, it is not easy to stand and talk. Virtue goes out of you physically. What will be the use that for all these years you have been here? Then not even one or two people can be a product of what has come from. And that means that my head lacks oil. My head does not lack oil.
That means that I've not vindicated myself that I believe in Jesus. That means that there's no living. It means that my garden is dry. It's not watered. But my garden is watered. I pray for you. May God help you to motivate, charge your brethren, your Christian brethren, into godly actions by your words. That is what the Bible says. Let your words be seasoned with salt, so that when people hear them, it will charge them up. It will stir them up to the godly work. And those that do not believe, when you stand to speak, it's not the length of the word you speak. It is not the big words you use. It's not the grammar. It is not the psychology or whatever thing that you are going to say. But when you speak the word of the Lord, may that flow of life hold that word, and that the heart of people will be cut asunder. And they'll say, what must we do? May God use you to completely turn people around. So the Bible said, these are men who turn the city upside down. That is what the word of God does. It turns things what? Complete 360. Do not be interested in people changing their mind. Be interested in people exchanging their life. Their life for the life of Christ. So Paul said, the life that I live, nevertheless, I live, but not me. But it is Christ who what? See, the reason why it is easy to pastor people who have exchanged their life is because they are ready to live that life of Christ. I saw the use of the mind when it cannot change. That thing has never left my mind. When Martin said that to me, and it was because he has to do something for me. In just a split of a second, he said, you not do it. I said, you said this. I said, he told me that what is the use of the mind if it cannot change? I learned my lesson. So since then, I don't really trust him to do something for me, because the mind is subjected to what? Change. But the heart, it will take. See, the heart. No. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 7 to 8, he talks about if there is motivation, let them what? Motivate. That is preaching. And it's the flow of the anointing. The truth of the matter is that these things, it is what you have received. That's what I'm saying. That if indeed you said that there's a water in you, you have drunk, and you are being watered, and it is coming. The character of the word will expose you when it comes to preaching and teaching. The character of God's word. Because if that is coming out of you, it will expose you. You preach, nobody's touched. They come and they clap for you. I'm not saying clapping is wrong. But if all it has to do is to end at clapping, that is not preaching. That is lecturing. You just gave a very good lecture, and they really were wowed by your lecture. But when you preach, even if they finish clapping, when they go back home, it will force them to take a godly act. That's what somebody can preach about prayer when you go back. See, now, do you know why people are not having a good prayer life? Because we just tell them about our experiences. We don't preach prayer to them. Man of God, last time when I went on the mountains and I did 10 days fasting and prayers, and this happened, and people say, wow, this man is anointed. That is all. It never moved them to go and do something. But somebody will preach the word of God to you. Oh, God bless Archbishop Duncan Williams. Those days in SS, my brother will attest to it. We'll put his CDs in and we'll begin to listen to him. By the time you are done listening to him, you are praying. You are praying. Another version of him right now is Apostle Aromi. When you start listening to him, by the time you realize you are praying. Because what is coming is life. It will force you to act godly. It is a force. That's why I say it's a heavy downpour of what rain. It hits you so strong, it changes your direction. It's so strong, powerful, alive. So even if you are caught up in any form of sin, the person comes to preach to you. Eh? That is easy. This is what we used to do in SS, that people wanted to beat us, that we have made their girlfriends to break up with them. That is the kind of message we carry to the SHS, that many people have lived life of purity. That is what you say, that young, you see, when you want, you have to motivate, like especially the young people, you must preach the word, motivate them, fire them to live for God. Godly actions. If I catch you, when I go to SHS, I'll go again. These ones that they said they are stubborn, don't worry. When we catch them, what they think that they are doing, it will clear their eye. We will fire you with life. Eh? But when there's life, death cannot stand there. Life is stronger than death. Now, you go to SHS school and they preach them. Yes, mommy, they say,
and then all kinds of story. Say, hey, you people, thank God, because if I grab one of you one day, we will motivate you with we will motivate you for God living. To the one you preach to people, pass here, come out of here. Somebody can leave church and go back to their boyfriend's room without fear. Hey, it will not happen. If your heart is as strong as stone, we will get a word for you. A word that will slap you on the way and say, get back home. That was our aim. We go to the schools with the aim, said, today the devil must lose at all cost. Those who drink will stop drinking. Those who are into any kind of social vices will stop. And that we will fire them to pray. We will fire them to read the Bible. We will fire them to love the things of God. And they will chase us to come meeting. And we will carry them to come meeting. It is the fire that can, the fire that we show, that's what makes them follow us to come meeting. Nobody is a fool to come and leave the comfort of the Father's house and come and sleep at the place that you stress their life. And then they'll go and come again the following camp. They'll be there. It is fire. That fire is preaching. It is life. So, which anointing are you expressing? That you are preaching the word of God. Where is it? You preach. Hey, ask for my roommate when I tell them, they don't listen. Sister, you need fire. That fire must come out of you. Brother, the rivers are not flowing. It's dry. That river is dry. Let it be watered. That's why you see that we fast and pray. Why is it that when you are going to preach, you fast and pray? So that the life, to be electrocuted with life, it passes through them. Mm. That's why you see that sometimes you preach and people see them, then they can feel fire. Literal fire in their hand. I've seen that many occasions. Whilst we teach the word of God, we are preaching, then people begin to shake. When we start preaching and praying together, then you know that the Holy Ghost can use the word to electrocute you. When it comes as teaching, I want us to wrap up. Hallelujah. Has pastor offended you? Have you been blessed? So I'm talking about the streams of the anointing in regards to preaching and what? And teaching. The rivers of the anointing. When it comes to teaching, listen, when the word of God is taught, teaching anointing, what happens? It flows or comes like a dew. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 1 to 2. We'll run through this one quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 1 to 2. Give ear, O heaven, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the word of my mouth. Verse 2. Let my teaching drop as the rain. My speech distill as what? The dew. As rain drops on the tender herb. And as showers on what? The grass. The essence of teaching is to water you. That's why it doesn't come like rainfall. Because when a rainfall falls on a tender herb, that herb will not survive. So teaching as an expression of anointing, when it comes like a dew. You will not notice it, but it is working. That is why when you sit under somebody for a long time, you are beginning to behave and react and act according to what the person tells you when you hearken to the person. Now, teaching is done teaching comes as dew, as so soft, falling on a tender plant, because it is done as a laying block upon another. A little here, a little there. Now, remember that the definition of teaching is to instruct or to cause understanding. To be able to help people to have understanding, it must be ministered as a block laid on another block. Precept upon what? Precept. As the book of Isaiah chapter 28 said, it is what? He said, who shall teach what? Knowledge is to them that are weaned from the milk and the breast. And it shall be what? Precept upon what? Precept. Precept upon what? Precept. A little here, a little there. You can never establish understanding when it is haphazardly what done. The problem in the church is that we don't have teachers. We have few teachers. Do you know that I could have just taught or speak about the anointing and then leave? If at least you have followed what we have done so far in this year concerning the matter of the anointing, I can tell you that as it stands right now, you have an understanding to know how to operate in anointing. It was not done haphazardly. Block upon what? Block. So when there's somebody who is ministering the anointing of teaching, this is how it comes. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon what? Precept. Precept upon what? Precept. Line upon what? Line. Line upon what? Line. A little what? There. A little what? That they might go and what? Fall backward and be broken and snared and what? And be caught. Now, this is it. When the word of God, you see, the whole thing I've been talking about as an expression of the anointing is the word of God. That comes from the Spirit, the living water. God's word. When the word of God comes out as an act of teaching, that teaching or anointing provokes hunger for more, such that people on their own will search and research into the scriptures to find for themselves hidden treasures. Now, let me show you that if somebody is really a teacher by the anointing, not by gifts, and the person is indeed teaching the word of God, the outcome is that it will provoke the people to what? Go and search and research. Why? Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2. It is of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of God to what? Conceal a matter. But the glory of what? Kings is to what? Search. Do you know what teaching does? Teaching open your eyes, give you a clue of how to solve a puzzle in the Bible, in God's word. So when somebody teaches you the word of God, what it does is that the person open up to you a reality, is an information for what? An encounter, the truth, to catch hold, get hold of the truth. There's a reality about you that is concealed by God. But what will provoke you to search it is that somebody taught you how to search it. So when you see people who are exposed to teaching, their typical life is that they are people who go for the word. That's what teaching does. So you see that when you say a teaching church or a church, you say the concentration is the word. Search, research, dig, search, go deeper to find the hidden what? Treasures. What has God concealed about this matter? How do I get hold of it? So in Acts chapter 17, the Bible describes certain church as noble people. Acts chapter 17 verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Watch. In that they received what? The word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were what? So. So if I tell you that God can bless you financially, if that is a ministry of teaching, anointing, what it does is that it provokes you to go and find out, is this true? You go back to the Bible. Then you begin to search and research until you come to the reality of that hidden treasure. Then you see that your glory will come out. That is why if you raise people whose life is on, pastor, pray for me, you are in trouble. Therefore, let me conclude. Time is fascinating. Any act of teaching that do not provoke you to go back to the Bible and be hungry to find kingdom treasures from the scriptures is not a product of God's teaching anointing. Do you know why? Because deep calls unto what? Deep. In Psalm chapter 42 verse 7, it said, deep calleth unto what? Unto deep. When you are exposed to deep, because teaching, see, what is forced on you? The dew. The dew is falling on you. Little by little. You begin to what? You see, you have to absorb it. Are you following me? How do you absorb it? It is through the search. When a water drops on a plant, it is the plant's mechanism, the leaf. I don't want to do a little of science, but I believe that the leaf has a way of extracting or getting the water into what? And when it falls on the floor, the root has a way to what? Absorb the water. It is not the duty of the water or the one who made the water to fall to absorb. It is the plant who absorbs it through the root. What provokes the plant to do that absorption is that teaching, anointing. So, if any teaching does not provoke you to go and do more research into the scriptures, that's a gift at manifestation. You will never grow. You will never yield. I pray for you that may your teaching and preaching, anytime you stand to express the outflow, see, these things are possible because you are being watered. Paul said that what I receive from the Lord, I give to you. You are being watered. It's my prayer for you this very morning, afternoon, that in our quest to manifest or speak God's word to people and to his creation, it will not be a mere speaking, trying to be philosophical, the wisdom of men, but it will be the word of God. And that word will begin to cut asunder. That word will begin to cut asunder. That our teaching and preaching shall not be by the wisdom of men, but the demonstrations of the power of God. It is time that we see true preaching and teaching as an overflow of what? The living water. It is time that preaching and teaching will not be because you have read the Bible. You have completed a Bible school. You have studied. It's good. It's a plus. But that true teaching and preaching of the word of God will be as a result of an overflow life. That you have spent time with God and that you have been watered and you have become a watered garden. And the overflow of that watering is coming out as preaching and teaching God's word, that life will be ministered. That life will be ministered. That the character of the word will be revealed. That it will be relevant in any generation. It will be relevant in any circumstances. And the extent to which it can reach. We will not only minister to the outward expressions of men, that we will speak and then their mind will change, but their heart cannot be touched. I pray and I refuse that for you in the name of Jesus. And I declare that the overflow of the anointing as an expression of the word of God, as an expression of the living water, shall be life unto people. Let the heart of men be cut asunder because you taught the word and you spoke the word of God. The Bible said, and Paul continued to teach and preach the word. And many who came to him, he preached and taught them the word. I pray for you that your speaking about God, your speaking about Jesus shall not be received by only clapping of hands, but you fire up a generation to live a godly life. You fire up a generation to take godly actions. I pray for you, your sister, your brother, the younger siblings around you, and maybe everybody will advise them, but they will not listen. But at the sound of your voice, because it's an overflow, because what is coming out of you is of the Spirit of God, and it is the God manifesting himself in you, when you say a word, they will hearken unto you, and they'll be moved by that fire. Hey, see, I said generation is counting on you. There are parents and people who are struggling to get their children in order. But I pray that if any of them cross your path, Oh, I said, I pray, if any of them cross your path, let that heavy rainfall sweep them. I said, let that heavy rainfall sweep them. See, there are many people who need to be swept into the kingdom now by preaching. If any of them cross your path, I said, as a result of the unction upon your life, the Bible said, my calves run over her because he has anointed my head with oil. I pray as a watered garden, wherever you go, at the office, at the classroom, at the marketplace, at your word, the Bible said, and Philip preached in Samaria, and multitude hearkened unto him, and they had the miracles. I pray for you that your words shall not be a laughing stock. Now, Christians are shy to talk about Christ because when they speak, it has no life. But I pray for you, it will not be your story. May God water you. I said, I let that, you see, you'll be vindicated. I declare, it will not be our time and our season that our younger brothers and sisters will be ensnared. The Bible says he sent forth his word. See, that word, the word of God was sent, and it broke through everything. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news and to set captives free. I pray, by your word, may captives be set free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe the name upon me.